Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis. With Jay Tarsis, Sophie Thompson, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Felicity Montague, Tony Maudsley, Susie Blake, Philip Pope, and Andy Hamilton.
And so, 1770 moves on its merry way towards Armageddon. Yet the almanac, which that old blowhard Benjamin Franklin publishes, promises peace and tranquility for 1771. Fat chance. Especially in my family, where my daughters continue to give me sleepless nights and strange warts on my toes, which I'm convinced are due to their behavior. Meanwhile, my gargantuan but lovable son Joshua, to whom I'm attempting to teach the disciplines of shopkeeping, is proving to be most...
Father, look!
You're 3 hours late for your lesson on the importance of punctuality, son.
Never mind that, Father. I've been making you this hat. It's beaver, see? I skinned it, folded it, and stitched it myself.
Oh, well, that's fine work, son. I just wonder if you should have removed the teeth. They're quite off-putting glinting like that. Sort of looks like the beaver's screaming.
Well, he was.
Well, can we just concentrate on our study of shopkeeper's etiquette? Let's see if you remember yesterday's lesson. Now, when a customer enters the shop, what do you say?
Go away, I'm skinning beaver.
No. You say, may I be of service?
Oh, but what a waste of time. In the wilderness, I don't have to bother with all that bowing and scraping. I just shoot anything that moves.
Yeah, well, son, that method's not the formula for success in the retail sales business.
But I want to go fishing. I don't want to be a salesman.
Listen, do you think I built this store for myself, Joshua?
You didn't build this store. Grandpa built this store.
Yeah, however, it was me made it into the flourishing institution you see before you.
Does flourishing mean empty?
This shop is a male elephant tradition, son. It's for the future. It's for the family. Please, learn the damn business, for all our sakes.
Oh, well, I see. That's another matter. If you'd said that in the first place, I'd not be so truculent.
Truculent? That's a grown-up word.
Yeah. Well, I've decided to develop my intellect.
Oh, that's a big project, son.
I'm going to learn myself one new word a day. And by the end of each week, I'll have learned 3 new words.
But, let's just continue with today's etiquette lesson, shall we?
Oh, I suppose. It's too truculent for fishing today anyway.
Morning, Samuel.
It's Mrs. Arbuthnot. Okay, you serve her. And remember what we practiced. Be charming.
Charming.
Yeah,
okay.
Go greet her.
Charmed to see you, Mrs. Arbuthnot.
Get away from me, you big galoot.
Hey, shut up, you old bat.
No.
Why don't you ever buy anything anyway?
Hey, what did he say?
He wanted to know whether he could help you find anything, because it would be a pleasure. That's what you were going to say, wasn't it, son?
Yeah. Had she not been so truculent.
Well, I don't want him to attend me. He's far too gigantic. He frightens me. I want you, Samuel.
Yes, but I'm training him to run the store.
Mary, what in God's name is that bulky contraption? And who are all these men?
So many questions. These men are acquaintances. Jeremiah, Malachi, Alexander, and Fred.
Hello, ma'am.
Have these acquaintances got surnames?
Alas, they do not. All foundlings.
Why are they so filthy?
Well, they've been hauling this ponderous machine clear across Baltimore.
And why are they wearing masks?
Eye protection from stray road pebbles.
That's a printing press.
Is it? Gosh! Boys, seems that's a printing press we've been lugging all this way.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Printing press. Oh, I've ruptured myself.
Mary, what mischief are you up to?
Oh, for God's sake, stop this babbling and let us in before someone sees.
Well, why does it matter if someone sees?
It matters because I am Spartacus.
Spartacus.
The rebel pamphleteer?
And we must conceal this machine from the English scoundrels who are scouring the town in hot pursuit. Especially that bully Brimshaw, with his impertinently boyish smile, which he obviously thinks makes some women go weak at the knees. But not me, as he has no effect on me whatsoever.
Oh, dear. Conceal the printing press, you say? Here? In your cellar. Why?
Because Ezekiel would be the last person suspected of harboring contraband. No crown-sucking, bilious, gout-infested lard bottom like him would fly in the face of the very vermin whose boots he lathers with his swollen, pus-encrusted tongue.
I have no choice but to take that as an insult.
You didn't let me finish.
You may not talk that way about the man I love.
You mean Abraham Smith?
I beseech you never mention Abraham Smith. That was a youthful indiscretion a long, long time ago.
It was scarcely 3 months.
Aye, but another lifetime.
Excuse me, this is solid steel here.
Printing presses are heavy.
My arms are going.
Well, I'm feeling faint, Mary. I think I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, so am I.
Bend your knees.
My goodness, Cora. This marriage has turned you pale as a ghost.
I've been feeling poorly lately, especially in the mornings.
Perhaps a little Ezekiel's on the horizon. Bite your tongue, Mary.
But it would be a perfectly natural turn of events.
Trust me, it wouldn't.
Oh, Cora, now what's wrong? Your eyeballs have disappeared.
I feel woozy.
Oh, please don't swoon, sister. Not before you give me an answer. May we hide the printing press or not?
Oh,
I think we'll take that as a yes. In we go, boys.
Oh, thank God. Come on. Oh, I've ruptured my rupture.
No, son, you hand her the peaches. You don't throw them.
I only lopped them, Father.
He knocked me over.
It's Captain Brimshaw, Sergeant McGurk. The morning grows still lovelier.
Good morning. Good day, English bastards.
Well, we still have to work on that greeting, don't we, son?
But that's what you call him, Father.
Good joke, son. Such a card.
Mr. Oliphant, I must find your daughter, Mary, immediately.
Well, Captain, if I may say so, that seems to have become your mission in life lately.
This is a serious military matter, sir, and nothing to do with my feelings toward your wildcat daughter, whose wasp-waisted charms leave me, frankly, quite cold. Now, General Venables has ordered us to confiscate Spartacus's printing press.
Printing press? Spartacus? No, you've lost me.
Please, sir, don't be so obtuse and truculent.
Hey, that's my word.
General Venables knows there's a printing press. He knows it belongs to Spartacus, but he doesn't know the identity of Spartacus.
We know who Spartacus is, but we can't locate her printing press.
Her?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize there was a shriveled snooping weasel in the shop.
You teaser.
Now, we've grown to like some of you colonials, but we also have duty as officers of the crown to carry out orders, which makes for something of a conundrum.
What's a conundrum?
Dilemma.
Oh, how truculent.
Now, if you cooperate, we won't have to clap you lot in irons and chain you to a wall in the hooscow, especially this old hyena.
Oh, I just love the way he says hyena.
Oh, no, look, she's doing it again, Captain. She's batting her eyes at me.
I wasn't batting them. I was staring at that school of lice crawling around in your hair.
Oh, yeah. They're disgusting, aren't they? Yeah. You see the big one? He's called Dennis. He's my favourite. Do you want to stroke him?
Sergeant McGurk has a nice informal manner, hasn't he, Father? I admire his style. He's most perpendicular.
Perpendicular?
Yeah, that was Tuesday's word.
Dad!
No, don't call me Dad, Ezekiel. We're practically the same age.
Please, Dad, now is not the time to quibble. Time is our enemy, so I shall be brief. For brevity is a pilgrim's pathway to the glittering cathedral of concision.
Say something that means something.
It's Cora. You've got to come quickly. For speed is the chariot of righteousness that rides rapidly.
Shut up! What's wrong? What have you done to her?
She's my wife. I love her. She's my earth and sky and meadow and wheat field and tide pool.
Shut up! What in God's name happened?
Well, I came home early. Yeah. And there she was, uh-huh. on the doorstep, passed out, breathing fitfully. Mm-hmm. I smacked her angelic face, revived her slightly. Again, she swooned. So, I didn't panic. I immediately summoned the doctor.
That's good.
Dr. Rutledge.
Benjamin Rutledge, you idiot!
He's a doctor.
He's a drunken sot.
He's my cousin.
He's an English butcher.
But he makes house calls.
We've got to get to her fast.
Yes, Dad.
If you call me Dad again, I'll beat you to a pulp.
I'll come with you, Dad.
No, you stay here.
How come he gets to call you Dad?
Because he's my son, possibly.
Well, why can't I come? Cora's my sister.
No. You look after the shop and try and behave like a proprietor. And McGurk.
Yes, sir?
You just keep your hands off my cash box.
Oh, that's nice.
Come on, Ezekiel. We mustn't delay.
Indeed. For delay is a... Ow! Dad!
So, poor Cora's mysteriously ill. Awful news. And I must go and spread it at once.
Come, Sergeant. We must continue our search.
Yeah, in a second, sir. Hey, Joshua, young fella, you got anything for fleas?
We got a hammer.
No, I don't want to kill him. Just slow him down a bit, you know?
How about some cheese?
Cheese? Nah. You know what might work some?
What?
Coins.
All right.
Sergeant!
Dear lady, this won't hurt a bit.
Rutledge! You get away from my daughter with those garden shears. Thank heaven we got here in time.
Oliphant! You can't just bast in here. This is a medical situation.
Then put down the garden shears.
But I have to cut off her petticoats.
For what reason?
So that she'll be naked. So that I can examine her thoroughly. Now stand aside.
Well, can't you simply unlace them?
Are you a doctor? I think not. You're in my light. Ezekiel, get this man out of here. Oh, and bring me some rum.
Rum? For her fever?
Haven't thought of that. Bring an extra cup, then.
I'm very frightened, Doctor. You mustn't let anything untoward happen to my beloved wife. Oh, would that this were me.
Yes. Someday, perhaps. The rum, then? And I think I saw some muffins.
Rum. Rum and muffins. Mm. Right.
Rutledge, I'm warning you.
Oh, you still here?
Yes, and I'll be watching you like a hawk.
I should like to be paid in advance.
Have you the faintest idea what's wrong with Cora?
Who's Cora?
The woman right there.
Ah! Now, but when she's cloven open, we'll soon discover what's wrong with her.
When she's cloven open, what's wrong with her is she'll be dead.
Nonsense! I've cloven open many a woman in my time. Surgery's come a long way since the 1760s. If we don't cut, we don't learn. And if a few lives are lost along the way in the interest of medical science, well, that's progress.
You just get away from her.
Be silent, Oliphant. I know what I'm doing. Quite a few of my patients survive. Perhaps as many as a third. Now, where's my money? Oh, and the rum.
Oh, I have no rum, Doctor, but I brought you pie.
Oh, is that cherry?
Blueberry.
My preferred cherry.
Oh, my wife does a wonderful cherry pie.
Really?
Oh, yes, with a sort of delicate lattice crust.
This is no time to compare pastries.
Oh. She stirs. My angel. Oh, this is a sign. Oh, thank you, Doctor. You've cured her. You are a genius.
Merely a highly trained professional. However, I don't think she's out of the woods yet. Her clothing will still have to be removed, and then, of course, she'll have to be leached.
Leached? With leeches?
Purely as a precautionary measure. Otherwise, my leeches will starve. And leeches don't go on feeding.
Well, she will not be leeched.
But blood sucking's always included in the price of the visit. Now, off with her clothes.
Get out of here, you perverted, inebriated quack.
Look, her eyelids flutter. Oh, joy, I'm whole again.
I'm here, Cora.
Oh.
So am I, beloved.
Oh.
And me. Now, how would you like to pay for this?
Here. Just take that. Take it and get out.
And the pie?
Yes, take the pie. Fork? Ezekiel, find the scoundrel a fork and then throw him out.
Come with me, Doctor.
Oh, Father. The last thing I remember is... Oh, Mary. Mary was here.
I know.
Mary Spartacus.
I know.
But she's hidden a vile printing press here in the basement.
I know.
No one must know that you know.
I know.
You know most things then, don't you, Father?
Shh, just try not to talk.
Where is Ezekiel?
He's outside.
Good. I've been vomiting recently.
I know.
And fainting.
I know.
I'm going to have a baby.
I know. And that... You're what?
I've disgraced my family and myself. I've done a terrible, blasphemous thing.
But Cora, you're married. It's not blasphemous that you and Ezekiel are having a baby. You're not married?
Oh, I'm married. A married adulteress.
Oh, my God. Cora.
I should hurl myself off a parapet. I'm a harlot and a slattern.
Abraham Smith.
A big A should be carved on my forehead. What have I done? I'm the good girl. I'm the dutiful daughter. The dutiful whore.
Cora, Cora, Cora.
Smother me with a pillow, Father. It's what I deserve. I'm wilder than Mary, stupider than Joshua.
No, you're not stupider than Joshua.
You do such a wanton, unspeakable thing to my husband.
No, wait. What you did before you married Ezekiel, did you not?
Yes.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's probably not good enough to stop the townsfolk from tying you to a stake and pelting you with stones. But perhaps they'll throw fewer stones or smaller ones.
Oh, Father.
And then there's the matter of your burning in hell for all eternity, but that's later. Let's concentrate on the easier stuff. Let's think. Now we have to be rational.
Rational, yes.
Oh, here's what we'll do. I'll drown Abraham Smith, and you'll have to move to France and spend the rest of your life in a nunnery there. It's simple.
No, this wasn't the fault of Abraham Smith, Father. It was of my doing.
You shameless tart.
The dreadful irony is, of late, I've come to care for Ezekiel. He's not the knight in shining armor I dreamed of, I know. No. But he's a good man, and, well, I should like, above all, not to hurt him.
The Almighty has granted me a reprieve. Oh, Cora, I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth. This is a magnificent day for the Screech family and for the Oliphant family and for all families. Well, if this doesn't call for pie, I don't know what does. Hosanna to this happy day. Let cherubim and seraphim rejoice.
You sure you don't want to hurt him?
Oh, I'm knocking back the cider with a guzzle, guzzle, gulp, and a guzzle, gulp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're back then, Governor?
What the hell happened here? Looks like a bull ran through my shop.
No, actually, it was a moose, Gov.
A moose?
Yeah, came looking for your son, seeking revenge. Apparently Joshua shot and skinned the moose's brother last week, and you know what mooses are like.
Look at this. The merchandise is ruined.
Not all of it, sir. I managed to rescue this cider barrel for you, sir, and I'm just making sure you don't lose any.
I should never have left Joshua in charge.
Yeah, quite a bundle they had, your boy and the beast, yeah. But Joshua had it all under control, you know, well, till the grizzly barged in. Then it did get a bit out of hand, you know.
The grizzly?
Searching for moose meat. Your boy had to twirl him over his head and hurl him into the chicken coop, which accounts for all him guts and feathers.
Joshua hurled the moose?
No, hurled the grizzly. Keep up. Come on. Hurling a moose is very rare. They're an unwieldy creature, mooses, you see.
Look at all these shattered trinkets and gee-jaws. I'd best get a broom.
Oh, brooms are broken. Mops are mangled. Where's Lloyd's when you need them, eh?
This is a disaster. My life's a disaster.
Cheer up. Come on.
I don't want this turmoil. All I want is for Joshua to have a way to earn a living.
He'll be fine. He's a strapping lad.
And then there's Cora.
Did she die, sir?
No, thank you for asking. Turns out she's just, well,
knocked up.
I wouldn't call it.
Preggers thing. Yeah. Here, have a bevy, sir. Drown your sorrows.
No, I don't like cider.
Oh, no, not the cider, sir. No, this is some of your cool vitae, isn't it? Found it under the counter while I was hiding from the puma.
Puma?
You don't want to know. I mean, complicated story, isn't it? There you go.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Call me Roy.
Roy?
Or Woody, on account of my leg.
Well, you can call me Samuel.
Fair enough, Samuel. Bottoms up, mate. Can I ask you a question, Sam?
Certainly, Roy.
Well, it's just I've travelled many lands and I've become something of an aficionado of languages, and I can't help noticing, well, you American stuff talk funny.
Funny?
Yeah, and you'll talk different, you know, like you, right? Mm-hmm. You've got that slow drawl, mm-hmm. So you sound like a sort of a dim-witted Cornishman.
Oh. Well, thank you very much, Sergeant.
Pleasure. Whereas Mr. Ezekiel, right, he's more of a...
Tosser?
Yeah, well, obviously. But he's more like a sort of Welshish...
Punts.
Yeah. But then your daughters, they sound different again. Now, why is that?
Well, I suppose America's a young country. Uh-huh. It's a melting pot, and our language is like a river, I think, with many tributaries.
Oh, right.
It's still developing, and perhaps the upshot is we won't end up speaking English like we've got a mouthful of marbles, or as if our buttocks were clenched around a particularly prickly pineapple. Mm.
Yeah, it's a point well made, sir. Mm. Yeah. Little more hair of the dog.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, Roy, life is a complicated monkey.
We'll come through it, Sam, unless we stop some musket balls with our faces.
I don't think all this is going to end well.
Oh, a little war does you good now and again. You know, you vent your spleen, you lose a limb, you lick your wounds, pick up some pieces, rape a few ladies, go on.
Hmm. Well, I'm not saying there won't be good times. I'm just worrying about the children, especially Mary and that captain.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Top up.
Yeah, a short one, Roy. Do you know the meaning of the word short, Roy?
Of course I do. Look at me.
Here we are, the prettiest corner of the orchard. Now then, sir, begin your brutal interrogation.
Miss Oliphant, I...
Why, Captain, you are all a quiver. Your whole body is trembling with emotion. Is this on my account?
It is on account of my anger.
Your eyes sparkle when you're angry. Did you know that?
I thought we had an understanding, madam, that I would not reveal your subversive activity to Spartacus, provided that...
Spartacus published no more pamphlets, and I have been true to my word.
Yes, but you still refuse to tell me the whereabouts of your printing press, huh?
Oh!
What?
A small, exquisite droplet of sweat has just appeared on your top lip.
Really? Well, I'm not surprised. I am at great personal risk here. General Venables is demanding results.
It's glistening like a tiny pearl.
And if I could just deliver Spartacus's printing press to the general, then perhaps that would pacify him, and he'd stop sending the abusive letters about what he plans to do with me, which I must say I find most unsettling, especially the diagrams.
I'm sorry. What did you say? I was watching your lips.
I demand that you hand over that printing press.
Never. I have hidden it away so that when the great day comes and the clarion call goes out to citizens to rise up, it can spread the word like wildfire. And if you attempt to subject me to further questioning as to its whereabouts, then it will be my duty as a patriot to run away and hide in the woods.
I see.
So, if you don't want me to escape, then you will just have to tie me up.
Tie you up?
Yes. Here are the ropes.
Yeah. You know, Roy, it hasn't been easy for me, Roy. I've had to be a mother to my children.
Yeah, breastfeeding must have been a bit awkward, eh? A little bit more, Sam.
Yeah. You and me, we understand each other.
That we do, sir.
We watch each other's backs.
Oh, not wash your back, sir. That's a bit too Greco-Roman for me, if you know.
Watch. See, I said watch my back.
Yeah. Keep our three eyes on each other, absolutely, yeah. Drink up, sir.
Hey, you wouldn't be trying to get me all jelly-legged, would you, just to winkle something out of me?
What, me? Put one over on you? You're educated, I'm scum. I mean, you're far too clever to say, tell me where I'd find that printing press.
Yes, I am.
Hmm. Shame, though. Would make my life a lot easier, and it might help to keep the captain away from your unpregnant daughter, Mary.
Eh?
Well, if you did know the whereabouts of that printing press...
Mary would spit tacks if I told its whereabouts, which I don't know. Let me reiterate.
Mm-hmm. But if you did, the confiscation of it might speed our transfer out of here.
Transfer what? You and the captain?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Huh. So I have no more red coats under my roof and, or on top of my daughter, and, and Mary would be left alone.
Yeah, yeah. Your problems would be over, but sadly you don't know where it is. Have you just farted, sir?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, it must have been me, then. I beg your pardon. Since I got my arse shut off in the Battle of Quebec, I can't keep track of what my bowels are up to, frankly. Bigger problem. So, now then, this printing press, what do you think?
Do you know what I think?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a space over there where my cash box used to be.
Cash box?
Yeah, you wouldn't happen to know anything about that, would you, Roy?
Well, I won't insult you by lying to you, Sam. The moose took it.
The moose.
Mm-hmm. Although the moose might just bring it back.
Mm. If I told the moose where to find the printing press?
Precisely, sir.
All right, Sergeant, if you get the map...
Yes.
I'll draw a great big X on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But before I do that...
Yeah?
I'm going to black out.
Oh, bugger.
Revolting People featured Jay Tarsis as Samuel, Andy Hamilton as Sergeant McGurk, Sophie Thompson as Mary, and James Fleet as Captain Brimshaw. Ezekiel was played by Hugh Dennis, Cora by Felicity Montague, Joshua by Tony Maudsley, Mrs. Arbuthnot by Susie Blake, and Dr. Rutledge by Philip Pope. Revolting People was written by Jay Tarsis and Andy Hamilton, and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
My dearest, may I come in?
Yes, Ezekiel.
If you finish your soup, I'll remove the tray.
Thank you.
May I say that, albeit frail, you've never looked more radiant.
You're too kind, husband.
And my ardor grows stronger. Though now I appreciate your weakened state will keep our marriage bed unrumpled indefinitely.
Yes. But let us instead bask in the fervent memory of passion's fever which has gripped us in the past.
It has?
Why, yes.
When in the past?
Oh, Ezekiel, please don't be coy. You remember the wine, the moon, the unbridled shouting?
Hmm.
Oh, it was a night of nights.
Yes, the... wine must have been rather heady. What night was this exactly?
Surely you remember.
I'm...
You were spectacular.
Well, yes, it's rather a gift.
And now I grow weary, my stallion.
Ah, yes. I'll leave you to dream of our next glorious encounter.
I grow weak with anticipation.
I'll go have some pie.
Good night, then. And God bless.